Good afternoon. It's now 3 p.m. left coast time and 2300 hours Greenwich. And welcome to the brand new show on EA Truth Radio, Free Radical Speaks, put on by myself, Bob Runyon. The date is the 19th day of December 2022. And today's topic is trust, as in who do you trust and why? If you're listening to this podcast in recorded form and are interested in commenting, you may look me up on MeWe social media. I use my name, Bob Runyon, and my icon is a dented airliner nose. More on that some other time. To start off with, I beseech the divine creator for more rain on the West Coast. This is much needed, but thank you for the gift of intellect you have bestowed upon us. Thank you for the rain that fills the streams and gives us life. Water is life. Thanks be to the divine creator. Amen. Since this is my first ever podcast, I should, by way of introduction, tell you a bit about me. This podcast is an attempt to express the reasons why I do not trust the mainstream media or the government. Now, as beginning here, when I went to the public indoctrination school, public indoctrination factory, that is school, it was basically a one-size-fits-all sort of alleged education. And there's talk of a spectrum where people who are autistic fall somewhere on a spectrum. However, my personal belief about this whole thing is that there is a huge spectrum and everybody's on it. And you get variations from the sort of person that is Dustin Hoffman's character in Rain Man to, you know, Wernher von Braun, who knows. And there's all sorts of different variations of who sees things the way they see them. Some people see kind of the mechanical aspects of whatever they look at, and some people see more art, and maybe they're the sort of people who memorize the collected works of William Shakespeare or something. But it's different for everybody. And for the public school experience, at least from my point of view on the subject, was completely an abomination. The stated goal of producing good citizens simply boils down to we want obedient taxpayers who will obey the state and whatever. It's not a cool thing. But to share an anecdote, when I was a kid, my parents sent me to summer camp. That is part of the adventure. We were to camp out under the stars on a meadow that was adjacent to a forest up somewhere, possibly San Bernardino Mountains, but I'm not 100% memory on that. When the adults who were in charge of this trip had all the kids around a fire at night to tell us stories, they told of wild carnivorous beasts that live in the forest, and these animals were nocturnal hunters, and we were warned not to go exploring late at night. Just basically stay in camp, kids. Now, some of the talk among the kids later on was that maybe this warning was really fake and that all the adults wanted was to keep us in camp all night. But maybe not, maybe so. Who's willing to risk it if we were really going to go do something crazy? This is an example of using fear to control a group of individuals. Now, having adults using fear to control a bunch of children, marginal at best in my interpretation. In the case of adults who seek control over other adults in a fear-based scenario, it's unconscionable. The fact is, the only way that this manipulation by fear works is if the intended victim believes the scenario as presented. Once trust is broken, the tactic no longer works. So, to quote Edward R. Murrow, this instrument can teach, it can illuminate, yes, it can even inspire, but it can do so only to the extent that humans are determined to use it to those ends. Otherwise, it's nothing but wires and lights in a box. Now, Edward R. Murrow spoke those words in 1958, a long time before there was such a thing as this World Wide Web. However, I suggest to you that it's as applicable to the web as it is to television. I would encourage my listeners to look up and read the entire text of the speech. The link is available at my page on MeWe. I've collected together links for the references for what I'm to speak about here. Basically, don't try to take my word for anything. If you're really curious, look up your own links and verify. That is, yes, trust but verify. This is intended to be just a bit of food for thought, like bon appetit. So we trust all sorts of things. We get into our cars and turn the key and trust that the machine will do what it's supposed to. And that trust, in the most part, is from experience. Most of the time, you turn the key in the car and it works and nothing goes off. There is, however, a different trust that is opinion that's not based on experience. And basically all we have when we get the news from television is opinion that whatever is presented is true and accurate. And it's not really something that we can depend on, because the lawmakers have made the laws such that the mainstream media doesn't have to tell the truth in the news programs. Just because a program is labeled the news on television doesn't mean that it is in any way truthful at all. TV exists basically to propagandize the citizens. I want to present two hypothetical cases just on the subject of trust. First, if you had a relationship with a business partner or spouse, and you thought everything was going just perfect, and then you learn that your trusted buddy or spouse has been cheating, embezzling, what have you, for this fact would most definitely impact your trust of the other party. Even if the incident was 20 years ago, it would impact your trust of them. Secondly, say you were diagnosed with a terminal illness and given 6 months to a year to live, and you seek out a second opinion, of course. So the second opinion says your illness isn't at all terminal, but treatable. Now you have a choice. Trust the first or the second diagnosis. It's up to you. Well, these things with medicine and whatnot, lots and lots of variables, lots of things to analyze. I cite these illustrations to show that really the last word on any subject is yours. You get to think what you will, believe what you will, and it's up to you. There's a good bit of individual leeway and individual conclusions that can be reached, and there's a lot of, at least in the modern world, what I see is people taking the expert's word for it. There is something of a war going on. It can be said to be of psychological or spiritual in nature, pick your word, but it's a war nonetheless, and it's an asymmetrical war. That is, one side is equipped with the most powerful propaganda tool ever invented, and the other not so much. So we have a war going on here. The only thing that the believers have going for them is that the Creator is in your corner, if indeed you're in the right corner. And that, again, is something that's a subject for just a bit of soul-searching on the part of an individual. So I'd like to also quote from the Founding Fathers of this U.S. of A. from the Declaration of Independence. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, and that all men are created equal, and that are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, The critical point that I see here is the consent of those governed. We allegedly give our consent to Congress by way of voting for our representatives, and Congress is supposed to write and pass legislation that benefits us, we the people. However, an academic study by Professors Martin Gillens of Princeton University and Benjamin Page of Northwestern University looked at more than 20 years of data, and they ask a pretty simple question. Who does Congress really work for? For the analysis of this data clearly shows that Congress works for the highest bidder. They work for big money. Unfortunately, this is nothing really new. In the late 19th century, newspapers carried editorials about how big money was accumulating political power in the form of non-elected wealthy individuals having undue influence in the halls of power. The forces of big money dealt with the public perception issue by purchasing major newspapers and thus gaining control over the content. So a newspaper owned by the J.P. Morgan empire would never dare print anything disparaging about J.P. Morgan. Currently, TV, radio, and print media are all owned by six corporations. These six corporations and all of their subsidiaries are immune from negative publicity being broadcast by any of their owned assets, that is, the media. In the case of TV advertising, we really can't trust what comes across in the television in general, but there's a specific sort of embarrassing anecdote to the case of TV advertising in that a soup commercial was found out where the advertiser placed clear glass marbles in the bottom of a bowl so as to drive all the noodles to the top, make the soup look denser than it really was. These things, there's all sorts of tricks that are played to change perception, and as said, perception is everything. On commercials for pharmaceuticals, the visual part of the commercial shows people enjoying themselves in whatever activity they may be engaged in, while the audio part of the commercial lists possible adverse reactions to whatever medication they're promoting. This is intentional and is part of the psychological warfare. The visual message makes the greatest impression on most people. There are all sorts of tricks that are used in television to manipulate people's perception, and not just the commercials. It's also in the content of the programs. For example, in any given show where a person with a, quote, normal job arrives home from their job, and the first thing they do is go to a refrigerator and get a bottle of beer, or possibly pour themselves a drink of some sort of distilled spirits. In many shows, alcohol is commonly used as a mode of celebration or commiseration in the case of some sort of loss, such as a doctor fails to save a critically ill patient. And in all of the content of the mainstream media, they present an image of what they, that is the producers of said content, consider normal. Just imagine people coming to your door with the message, accept the mainstream media as your deity. Completely mad? No. Anyway, I assert that the First Amendment has been circumvented by the forces of big money. TV is not there to bring you news and entertainment, but to impress upon you ideas that you would not otherwise embrace. In the book 1984, Orwell writes that the totalitarian state demands that people ignore the evidence of their own senses, but instead believe unconditionally what the government tells them. So, just a little note, and I'll put this in the notes also on my MeWe page, CIA document 1035-960. By this document, it is very clear the intent of the government was to weaponize the word conspiracy. I have a very strong objection to the common use of the word conspiracy. That is to indicate any thought or idea that's being promoted in opposition to the official story about any subject. Dissent is necessary in order to test ideas. Any given official story that cannot, that any given official story that cannot be simply accepted whole without question, don't expect people to trust what I am saying. Trust, but verify again. The term conspiracy has been applied as a label to brand and therefore marginalize dissent. So, in the case of controversial subjects, there are issues that, as reported, impose a threat to everyone on this planet and can only be addressed by governments and high-level think tanks staffed by experts in their fields. In response to skepticism, too often two things are heard, and that is, one, the government wouldn't do that, and two, this is America, it can't happen here. Well, I advise you to think again. People all too often express that since they are not engineers or scientists, they must defer to experts. However, the experts are but mere mortals like all of us, and therefore can be mistaken, or for that matter, manipulated or coerced. Note that I am highly skeptical of any claim that some controversial subject that cannot be explained in such a manner as to make it accessible to individuals who do not just happen to have advanced degrees. Now, if you have taken psychology 101 in school, you're probably familiar with some of these studies that I cite. There is the blue eyes versus brown eyes study, the Jane Elliott experiment. This is about discrimination and the application of authority. There's, again, links in my MeWe page. And an experiment by Solomon Asch about peer pressure. Also the rather famous Stanley Milgram experiment. This is a study as punishment for giving wrong answers. This is an especially dark particular thing. It's really shocking to me that this sort of thing happens, except that I know it does. There's also the Stanford Prison Experiment. This experiment actually had to be stopped before it ran the course that the experimenters actually had designed into it, because things were getting out of hand. Very interesting read. There's also about most people blindly trust pocket calculators. There was an experiment given where people were called to calculate up some numbers and report the results, and the calculators were basically programmed to give wrong results. And, people were very trusting of the calculators. There's also a completely different study that was how educated people are getting basic things wrong. An interviewer took a video camera to a college graduation ceremony, and right after the grads got their diplomas, he managed to take aside a couple of dozen of these recent grads and ask them simple questions like, what causes the seasons to change from summer to winter? And some of the answers included things like the Earth is closer to the sun in summer and farther away from the sun in winter. Obvious, void in the data of things that I would probably think that's primary school material. But there's things that these people, being college educated, have knowledge in other areas that far exceeds my level of understanding in those same subjects. So, just my take on these sort of things. Now, I'd like to take a minute to remind you that there are many ways you can support the truth here at Eternal Affairs Truth Media, including but not limited to shopping at MyPillow using promo code ETERNAL. Mike Lindell now has his own coffee brand, My Coffee. And thanks to our affiliate partnership with Mike and MyPillow, you can grab great discounts by using promo code ETERNAL. Links in description. Use promo code ETERNAL. Now, to get on with the subject about controversial subjects and whether or not people actually trust the government on these subjects. Psychologists have written extensively on the subject of how futile it is to even attempt to present facts to anyone who has been fully inducted into the cult of the mainstream. However, I present the following in the hope that my audience has an open mind. An upfront bit about stipulations. Logic dictates that it is possible to know that an illusion has been seen without any obligation to describe how said illusion was done. And it is possible to define that a specific event didn't happen without any obligation to define exactly what did happen. These items will be seen to be very relevant shortly. Please bear with. I've heard accusations of confirmation bias against me personally. I've read much of the info that alleges to support the official story on several different fronts and have found it very lacking. If anyone has any new data or anything they consider especially relevant, please drop me a note at my account in MeWe. So, people may be skeptical of the claim that media broadcasts lies. However, one thing, and I consider this at the very top of the list constituting damning evidence that the media lies and does so blatantly and often, the events of 9/11/2001, as reported by the media. These events constitute violations of the laws of physics. The official has it that airliners allegedly penetrated walls completely, making the plane disappear inside a building, minus approximately 1% of the mass of the plane left outside. However, this is impossible. The statement is not because of incredulity. It's a matter of practical applied physics. The airliners Flight 11, Flight 175, and Flight 77 all allegedly penetrated walls straight in, making the plane virtually disappear inside. The proponents of the original, the official story, often resort to asserting that the details of why it should be that the planes disappearing into the building were beyond anyone who doesn't have a PhD, and therefore we poorly educated peasants cannot possibly understand. Now, this goes back to my knowledge of the early space program. When the early space program was just getting rolling, there was a lot of experts getting on TV and explaining how launching satellites works, why satellites are important, what they do. They laid it out, and they laid it out very well for people who are fundamentally not college educated. And I have no problem with people explaining. I mean, if the people know who Don Herbert is, Don Herbert was the Mr. Wizard man on television many years ago. To explain the detail exactly what's up here, oh, rats.
Hello, this is a courtesy call for AT&T and direct
customers. Just there. Excuse, please. There's slight interrupt happening there. To get on with the explanation of why, and there's an airliner given a vertical velocity of 70 feet per second. If it lands with that vertical velocity, that's approximately 50 miles per hour, and given a horizontal speed would be approximately 180 miles per hour upon landing. But upon contact with the runway, the plane will be damaged by the impact of that 70 feet per second vertical velocity. If then an airliner were to impact a wall at 800 feet per second, that is approximately 540 miles per hour, it is obvious that the plane will take a lot of damage from that. This is not a matter of the fuselage retaining its shape and simply progressing straight into the building. There are a lot of things to account for in terms of asymmetrical forces and whatnot. And the fact is that this constitutes absolutely incontrovertible proof that the media lied. And this is something that people should, you know, I know it's difficult. This cuts across and has a lot of, there's sort of emotional baggage that goes with it for a lot of people that, well, if this is true, then this just shakes our worldview totally, and that's a bad thing. But it's necessary to confront difficult things, I think, here. With the knowledge that the media lied about 9/11, the only other thing that comes to mind here is that what are they presently not lying about? And let's see here. I think I've about exhausted the subject, at least for what I have for today. But it's been a pleasure. I hope you'll continue to join me every third Monday of the month here on the Free Radical Speaks, brought to you by EA Truth Radio and Eternal